Please turn your Bible with me on Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. We'll just... meditate on this one verse. O Lord our God, would you please open our minds with the help of thy Holy Spirit, that we might be helped, Lord, in understanding it, and through the knowledge and the wisdom and the strength from obeying it, and grant us the grace, Lord, to be obedient to every extent of its holy teaching for righteous and purity of life, righteousness of life and purity of heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's read Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Let's read that connection of that thought in 1 John 3, 2. 1 John. Let's move to the epistle of John. Chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. It says, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Amen. Well, going back to that verse in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. With this statement of our Lord Jesus Christ, we face one of the greatest utterances and teaching teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ in the whole of the Holy Scriptures. And of course, we could never exhaust this one verse. It stretches into so many themes and so many realities of its teaching. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We are only going to try tonight to discover its central meaning. A long way from exhausting the riches of God's grace that are overflowing in this verse. There are two wonderful thoughts to consider tonight. First, the way you think, or the way we think, determines the way we behave or you behave. The way we think or the way you think determines the way you behave. God is concerned about the way we think. That's why the Apostle Paul said in Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. In Philippians 4:8, it says, instruct us to think about that which is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, of good repute, or of good report, excellent and praiseworthy. That is Philippians 4:8, instruct us. When the Lord Jesus spoke of a pure in heart, in our text tonight, Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, he was talking about sanctified thinking. The way that God sanctifying grace is recreating and transforming us as our pattern shape, continue to reshape our lives into the kind of vessel, useful vessel in His kingdom. That is what he tried to do in our lives. Sanctified thinking so that the end result of holiness and righteousness and the filling of the Holy Spirit for the fruits of the Holy Spirit that will be shown in our lives, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, and self-control. This is part and parcel of the sanctified living, the pure in heart. The word, or the Greek word translated in English, heart, is the word cardia. Cardia is the Greek word, from which we get the word cardiac. While we often relate heart to the emotions, for example, he has a broken heart, the Bible often relates it primarily to the intellect. Like, for instance, out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, theft, false witness, slanders. That is the exposition, that is the exposing of sin in Matthew 15, verse 19. And that's why you must watch over your heart with all diligence in Proverbs 4:23, I should say. Watch over your heart with all diligence. Let's look at that verse because that's very important related to the purity of heart. Proverbs 4:23. Would you look that with me? Proverbs 4, verse 23, it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So what is that diligence is talking about? The diligence of seeking after God with all our heart, soul, body, and strength. In seeking to have that purity of heart. God is pure. God cannot dwell in a heart that is filled with impurities. God wants to dwell among His people who are pure and righteous altogether. That's why in this Proverbs, we are, chapter 4, verse 23, we are commanded to watch over our heart with diligence. That means we take every opportunity. This is, when it says with diligence, it's a priority. It must be the first thing first that we must be aware of. Diligent in trying to watch what is the desires of our heart. That the desires of our heart are set on the things of God. What does that psalm says in Psalm 119, verse 11? Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. That is a diligence. That's a diligent desire to please God and to honor Him in the way that we lead our lives. The fear of God, the love of God in our hearts. In a secondary way, however, the heart relates to the will. To the will and emotions, because they are influenced by the intellect, by our mind. If you are committed to something, it will affect your will, which in turn will affect your emotions. So if you are trying to do something, and achieve something, Your whole will and mind and intellect is involved. It's not part or portion of it. Your whole will, determination to achieve that. It's a priority that you can achieve it, not by your own strength, but by the strength and wisdom and the direction of God's leading through His Holy Spirit. The Greek word translated pure in Matthew 5:8 it means to cleanse. In the moral sense, it speaks of being free from the filth of sin. It also refers to something that is unmixed, unalloyed, or unadulterated. It's something solid, pure. Like when I try to buy these apples, I like the pure juice, apple juice. There are says that some juice, they are from what? From other source. It's adulterated, it's mixed with something else. But the pure apple, it says pure from the fruits, fresh from the fruits. It is not mixed with temporary taste or color. It is pure. It's just like eating the real fruit. And that is what it means, pure, to cleanse. In the moral sense, it speaks of being free from the filth of sin. It also refers to something that is unadulterated. Spiritual integrity and sincere motives are appropriate applications of its meaning to the Christian life. Therefore, when we have a purity of heart, it's directly applied to our dignity, to our integrity and sincere motives in leading our lives. That is upright, that is God glorifying in many ways. Jesus is saying the kingdom people or the kingdom citizens or the redeemed people of God are blessed because he or she has pure thoughts and pure motives. But if his behavior is not righteous, his heart is not fixed on God. Similarly, you can go to church like we all do and carry our Bible and recite memory verses or verses, but if your heart is not clean, you have not met God's standard. So God expected repentant attitude towards sins must be our daily portion. You must do the will of God from a pure heart, according to Ephesians 6:6. Let's turn to Ephesians 6:6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 6. It says, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. I think it has connections to verse 5 as well. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart as unto Christ. So this is talking about serving God with singleness of heart. Serving God as well is related to living our lives with singleness of heart unto holiness and righteousness. David's prayer can always pattern our prayer as well. In Psalm 51 verse 10, he cried to God, create me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right steadfast spirit within me. Well, the King James Version render it in a more clear way in Psalm 51 verse 10 in King James. It says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. That's a very emphatic one. Create in me a clean heart, O God, which is a pure heart. Renew a right spirit within me. This should be our constant check, prayer, which will check our desire to live according to the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ in this Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. That is a cry of the heart that is diligent. There is a desire of diligence on his heart. Let's continue to remember that prayer. And also he says in verse 7, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. There is a diligent desire not to repeat those sins that make David fell down or displease God because of this great sin he has done in the most unexpected time, in the most unguarded time of his life. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. In one of the prayer listed in that prayer book, it says, let me be slow to meditate upon thy word, and are ready to gaze upon the glories of thy grace. May I be cast into the lowest depths of shame and walk with downcast head. Now thou art pacified toward me. O my great high priest, pour down upon me streams of needful grace. Bless me in all my understanding, in every thought of mine, every word of my lips, every step of my feet, every deed of my hands. O give sincerity to my desire, he says, earnestness to my supplications and my prayer, and fervor to my love for you. May that prayer, which is similar to David's prayer, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And then, dwelling upon the second thoughts about purity of heart, is that we must not only have an awareness that the way we think determines how we behave before God and before men. The second one is that we must have a part to play in becoming pure in heart. Well, purifying heart is the gracious and the miraculous work of the Holy Spirit. But there are some things we just do in response to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. First, We must admit we can purify our own hearts. For Proverbs 20 verse 9 says, who can say, I have cleansed my heart. I am pure from my sin. Well, the expected implied answer is definitely no, no one. We cannot say that before God, I have cleansed my heart. Therefore, we must be like David. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, O Lord, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, in verse 8, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sin, and blot out all my iniquities. And that in verse 10 again, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. That must be our constant prayer, without which we will never have that kind of holy desire to be pure. So, preparing a heart is the gracious and miraculous work of the Holy Spirit. There is no one who can justify him saying, I have cleansed my heart. For God is through the work of the Holy Spirit, can make us repentant from our sin. And next, we must put our faith in Jesus Christ, whose sacrifice on the cross is the basis alone for our cleansing. Acts 15 verse 9, chapter 15 verse 9 says that God cleansed our hearts on the basis of our faith. Of course, our faith must be placed in the right source or object of our faith, which is our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And finally, we must study the Word of God and meditate upon it and pray. The psalmist said, we keep our way pure by keeping it according to God's word, which we must treasure in our hearts. In Psalm 119. Let's look at those verses quickly. Psalm 119 verse 9 and 11. Psalm 119, verse 9 and 11. It says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy word. Taking heed of thy word. How can we take heed of the word of God when it reveals something in our hearts? That's why when we read the scripture like this, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. So if the word of God reveals something in our heart like sin, we must ask the question. It's not just reading about sin. Is there a sin that I need to confess before God? Is there a secret sin that are still in my heart? I am playing with sin. Am I playing with sin? Is there a command to obey? Of course there's a command to obey. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. Verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. That's a command. And then verse 11, thy word have I hid again in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. That is the effect of truly meditating and reading thy word, God's word, and pray and asking God to apply that truth. Is there something about Christ, about God, about the Holy Spirit that we need to praise God and bow our head before our crying God in repentance of our sin? As we pray, like David did in Psalm 51, we must pray and submit to the Word of God. As we pray and submit to the Word of God, the Spirit purifies our lives. It's not just reading upon it, but let's communicate to God, whose word we are reading are the word itself from God. So when we pray, we are talking to God. But when we read the Word of God, God is talking to us. Remember, we're not just reading printed word. It is God's word who is talking to us directly. So that as we pray and submit to the Word of God, the Spirit of God purifies our lives. That's how you acquire and maintain a pure heart, dearly beloved. As a result, you shall see God in Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Well, that doesn't mean you will see Him with physical eyes, but rather with the spiritual ones, with the spiritual eyes. You will begin to live in His presence and will become increasingly aware of His working in your life. You will recognize His power, the power of the Holy Spirit, and underwork in the beauty and intricacy of creation. You will not just look at the heavens without appreciating the work of God's wondrous creation. You are moved with the greatness of God and His plan for us to be drawn closer to God because of His greatness. He demonstrated His power. He created all this to praise God and give our thanks. He created this world for His glory and for our benefit. And yet we fail to recognize, to thank God. As if when we earn our money, as if we come from our own strength. They all come from God. God gave us that labor, the ability to earn it. We must recognize that. And we must continue to thank God for it. So when we are pure in heart, we will continue to discern His grace and purposes and trials, and we'll learn to praise Him in all things. Do we learn to praise Him in all things? Let's pause for a moment. Sometimes we just praise when we have some good news only. What about when we don't have, when we have sad news? When we have some kind of disappointment, this kind of sorrow and trials and difficulties. We are not only praising God when we are happy, we can praise God as well. That in all this, God's allowing these difficulties and trials in our lives, we can learn lessons. And that's what God intends, all the difficulties and trials, the chastisement of our soul, so that He will speak strongly about His purging our lives to be more conformable to His will. As the gold is being purified from every impurities, the end result, this is a pure gold, pure gems that will shine like diamonds for the glory of God. Remember, without the light, diamonds are nonsense if there's no light. Because if there's no light, diamonds will not shine. So do you realize that? Diamonds will not shine. So therefore, without the light of the countenance of our Lord Jesus Christ, we will never shine. That's why we need Him. to lead our lives, guide our lives in His teaching that we just meditate right now. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Can you imagine seeing God when we have that purity? Not in physical eyes, but in His glorious ways with our spiritual eyes. So you will also sense His ministry through other Christians and will see His sovereignty in every area of our lives. That's another aspect in which we need to see that God works in every area of our lives. As I mentioned, in difficulties and trials, problems, and all forms of tribulation. In one word, in tribulations. Remember, He said to His disciples, in the world, you will have tribulations. But cheer up, He said, I have overcome the world. Let's not forget that. Sometimes we forget that God overcame already. He defeated the enemy. But the enemy trying to defeat us, but the God who died for our sin, who won that victory for us, must be our victorious victory against the enemy of our soul. In the world, you shall have tribulation. But cheer up, He said to His disciples. I have overcome the world. That's a big, big encouragement for us. So there is no greater joy, dearly beloved, than knowing that you are pure before God and that your life is honoring Him. May that joy be yours today, tonight. And may God use you in a powerful way for His glory. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for the teaching of your word tonight. That your holy word will increase that necessity and desire of having a purity of life in our hearts, day by day. Please grant us all a desire for continued grace to live a pure life, O Lord, so that others will see you, O Lord Jesus, in our individual life, our individual heart. So continue, Lord, to put that consuming desire, Lord, to live a holy and righteous life. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. We need thee every hour, O Lord. Every hour we need thee. For without thee, O Lord, we cannot do anything. So put that desire in our heart, Lord, as your people. For we want to glorify you, O Lord, and to want our lives to be counted always for you in living this life for you. So, Lord, may the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable unto thee. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen.